To the Alpine. I'm Allison.
And I'm Pooh.
And I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you, Pledge Girls.
You're welcome.
Hey, Pooh, everybody's been asking me about your Saturday morning show. You want to tell everybody about it?
Sure. Well, what I do on my Saturday morning show is first I read some stories. Sometimes I make up some. Then after that, I talk about stuff.
Okay. Okay.
And then after that, I take call-ins, and that's about a lot I do on the Saturday morning show that I have tonight.
How long is it?
It's an hour.
And is there anybody else in here helping you with it?
No, except Aggie. She helps sometimes.
And who's Aggie?
She's my little doll.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm sure that that answers most of the questions that everybody has. And we'll see you guys later.
Okay.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am back to normal. Thank God. I thought that thing was just going to hang on and hang on and hang on forever. But it's gone, finally. For those of you in the Phoenix area of Arizona, let me tell you about something that's going to be happening February the 26th and 27th. That's the 26th and 27th. It's called a Waikut. got my tongue tied around my wisdom tooth. It's called the Y2K Summit and Town Hall Meeting. Now, I don't know what kind of spin they're going to put on this, and I really don't care. If you are interested in going down and see what's going on, they're going to have a whole bunch of speakers. And it's February 26th and 27th, the Phoenix Y2K Summit and Town Hall Meeting. And let me see, it's going to take place, what time? February 26th and 27th. Well, they don't give a starting time. Let me see if it's on this. Okay. Friday, February 26th from 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. And Saturday, February 27th from 9 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. So it's going to be Friday evening beginning at 7 p.m. And all day Saturday from 9 a.m. until 8:30 p.m. that night. It's going to be held at the Phoenix First Assembly Church at 13613. That's 13613 North Cave Creek Road. That's between Sharon Drive and Sweetwater on Cave Creek Road in Phoenix. For those of you who might like to attend, have at it. Tomorrow night we should get a call from our reporter who's attending the city council meeting in Kingsville, Texas tonight. In fact, she should be there right now attending the city council meeting. And tomorrow she's going to call us, and that will be the first thing on the agenda for tonight, for tomorrow night's broadcast. And so be sure and tune in. Apparently, this stirred up quite a controversy. The city council in Corpus Christi met last week and said, "Oh, sure, come on, you know, do whatever you want to do. Bomb our city, you know, shoot off live ammunition, you know, blow up explosives, do whatever you want to do, because we're patriots and we have a long history in cooperating with the armed forces of the United States of America." Stupid, stupid, stupid. Americanus stupidus sheepolus. Yes, come in our town and shoot off live ammunition and detonate live explosives, and who knows where these bullets are going to go. And we'll just, we don't think anybody's going to get hurt because everybody is always so careful, you know. Recipe for serious accident. It's also a rehearsal for the eventual disarming of American citizens. Whether you want to believe that or not, I really don't care. It happens to be the truth. And they've been performing these exercises all over the United States, everywhere. Northeast, Northwest, Central, Plains States, Bible Belt, down South, Southeast, Southwest, Heartland, you name it, West Coast, East Coast, they've been all over the place. And I don't think it's going to end anytime soon. I don't know what you might think about it, but I think it's, in fact, I know it. It's unconstitutional, it's unlawful, it's against the law to begin with, and extremely dangerous. Can you imagine being awakened from a sound sleep by helicopters hovering just above your roof? You run outside and armed troops dressed in black are rappelling down lines and firing weapons and detonating explosives. If they did it here, some people would get killed. Because I, for one, would not wait around until it was all over to ask them who they were and why they were firing weapons near my house and hovering helicopters just a few feet above my roof and detonating explosives. You see, I don't know who they are. And I'm not going to wait till it's all over to find out, because by that time I could be dead, and so could most of my neighbors. I don't know what's happened to the American people. They get the living hell scared out of them. They see all this going on, and after it's all over, they find out that it was the United States military, and they're given some excuses why they're doing it in their town, in the middle of the town, with live ammunition and live explosives, and it's, well, that's okay. Americanus stupidus sheepolus. And the population of those herd animals seem to be getting bigger and bigger every year. Americans have lost their ability to think, no common sense. In fact, it's been an awful long time since I've seen very many people who have common sense or even know what it is, or even care, for that matter. Tonight, we're going to do what we did. In fact, I may just do this all the time because it's a lot easier on me, is just to let this machine here pick the music for the evening, unless I have a specific message in mind, in which case I will pick the music with the message. Things are a little exciting around here. We are beginning to receive a lot of the things that we've been purchasing for the television project. And for those of you who have not seen any of it, you can, there's a page on our website, and the website is harvest-trust.org. That's harvest-trust.org. If you'll look toward the top of the home page, you'll see a television project link. Just click on it. And there's some graphics there. There were a whole lot of graphics. I took most of them out because it just takes so long for them to load. And you'll be able to see some of the things that we've been purchasing with the donations. Now, I'm going to play some music because I have to go get the tally. So I want to tell you how much more we need in order to fulfill our goal. So don't go away. I'll be right back. Thank you. Well, first off, I'd like to thank everybody who has donated to the television project. And let those of you know who have not donated that you need to. Since I last gave you the statistics, we have received $985.95. I don't know where the 95 cents comes from. I don't remember, but that's how much we've received, $985.95. So we still need $3,015. We still need $3,015 to finish and reach our goal. So those of you who have not donated, sit down. Sit down, get your priorities straight, and reach way down deep and donate as much as you possibly can so that we can get this show on the road. This needs to be done. The majority of the American people do not read anymore. They don't listen to radio. If it's not on television, it does not exist. If it's not on television, it does not exist. They won't listen to anything. They don't read anything. They either watch television or rent videotapes, and that's the extent of their mental development. And so we want to reach that audience. The only way to do it is the only thing that they'll look at, and that's television. We're going to build a television station right here in the Round Valley. And we're going to create videotapes, which you can use to show on your local cable access channel in your area on a regularly scheduled basis to educate people. All of the people who don't receive any information from any other source aside from television. And I think this is going to be a great thing. In fact, I know it is. And we're going to do it for the first time ever by anybody who does what we do, top-notch quality. Equal to or better than anything Hollywood puts out. And I'm not joking, folks. If you think we can't do that, you better think again. Remember, they said I couldn't write a book. And when I wrote a book, they said I couldn't get it published. Nobody would publish it. And when I got a publisher, they said nobody would buy it. And it's been the underground number one best-selling book for the last 9 years in a row, bar none. When we found out the newspapers wouldn't tell the truth and told people we were going to print a newspaper, they said, you can't do that. And we did. And they said, well, if you do, nobody will buy it. And they are. And when we found out that radio stations were lying and you couldn't get on if you were, you couldn't get on as a guest if you were talking about certain things. And we said, we're going to start a radio broadcast. And they said, well, you can't do that. And then they said, well, if you start a radio broadcast, nobody's going to listen. Well, we started one. We put it on satellite. And we really thought nobody was listening. But we didn't realize what a huge satellite radio audience there is. Now, we started getting tons of letters each week. And I didn't know where they were coming from. Some of them from Europe and Canada and South America. All listening to satellite radio. And then we got a call one day from WWCR wanted us to be on WWCR. So we went on WWCR and we became the number one rated shortwave broadcast ever. Ever. And we've just broken every record there ever was. We proved everybody who ever said we couldn't do it to be a liar. It's just not true. You can do these things too, folks. We all have the same brain, the same potential if we use it. And the only difference between me and most of you is I don't sit around and figure out why I can't do things. And if somebody tells me I can't do something, that just gets me moving faster. What I do is I sit for just a very short period of time and figure out all the reasons why I can do it and all the ways that I can do it, and then I get up off my butt and I go do it. And so we're going to have a television station in the round hour, and we're going to produce videotapes that are equal to or better than anything that you can rent down at your video rental place that Hollywood puts out. And not only that, we're going to get these syndicated into the video rental places. We're going to do that. And all of you are going to play these tapes on your local cable television public access channel. And every place where there's a cable television network, by law, they must have a public access channel, and they cannot refuse to play your videotapes as long as they're not obscene. That's right, folks. And if they do, or if they try it, you can get these people in big trouble really quick because the law is specific. Very specific. They cannot refuse. Period. So that should start a lot of you thinking. And for those of you who do think that you can't do things, for instance, I get calls all the time from people, and generally, in at least 50% of the calls, maybe 60 or 70% of the calls, at some point during the conversation, the caller will tell me, well, you know, I really admire what you do. I wish I could do that, but I'm just an old country boy. Or, I'm just one person. You know, I've got a family to feed, and I don't have time for that. Well, folks, I'm just an old country boy, and I got a family to feed, and I don't have time for it either. I just do it. Can't is not in my vocabulary. What I do is I figure out, is it right? That's the first thing I ask myself. Is it the right thing to do? If it's not, I don't give it any more thought. If it is, I sit down for just a few minutes and I figure out, why should I do it? And usually the answer is because it is right, and it is the right thing to do. And then I start listing all the ways that it can be done. And I never, ever, it never crosses my mind, I never, ever think of any reason why I can't do something. Not ever. It isn't in me. Most of you, that's the first thing that you do. If somebody proposes that you do something, or you all of a sudden realize that you should be doing something, the first thing that comes in your mind is all of the reasons why you can't do it. And that's why you don't do anything. That's the only reason why. You have the same potential, probably the same or better intelligence. Your brain is the same size. You can learn anything on the face of this earth that any other human being can learn, and just as easily. And that's the truth. Some of you have been programmed all your life that you're not worth anything, and that's a lie. You've been programmed that you must work for other people, and that's a lie. And you've been taught somewhere along the line that you're only capable of doing certain jobs. That's another lie. And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't research. You can't. Bullshit. It's all lies. You are a prisoner of your own mind. And all of the people who keep reinforcing those kinds of attitudes, you need to get them out of your life. Just tell them to get lost and don't ever come back. And turn your life around. Throw can't out the window. Throw won't out the window. And realize how important you are and how capable you are. And then get your butts busy. Do something. The first thing you need to do is donate to this television project. Here's where you send your donation. The Hour of the Time. In care of 101.1 FM. That's The Hour of the Time. In care of 101.1 FM. Post Office Box 940. That's P.O. Box 940. Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R. Arizona, 85925. One more time for those who are slow. In fact, I'll repeat it twice more. The Hour of the Time, in care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925, USA. That's The Hour of the Time, in care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925, USA.
Oh, it's Christ time again. You're going to need me.
That's what some of you are going to do when you write that. When you write that money off in your mind and get a blank money order and send it off to us, right? Oh, I know you only too well.
Now this trade that happens, the heart will wander, and that tears are holy rain to make love grow. Well, my love for you can never hold no longer. If I live to be 100 years old, oh, it's crying time again. You're gonna leave me.
By the way, folks, if this works, if this really works, and it will, within just a few months, and I hope sooner than that, we will have a weekly television show on satellite and on a lot of these cable places. It's already in the works. But we can't do it without your help. We need another $3,015. So make your donations. and make them right now. Let's get this done with.
Now you say you found someone that you love better. That's the way it happens every time before. And it's sure as the sun comes up tomorrow. Crying time will start when you walk out the door. Oh, it's crying time again. You're gonna leave me. I can see that far away look in your eyes. I can tell by the way you hold me, darling. All I know that it won't be long before it's crying time.
That far away look in your eyes. That happens every time somebody says that you need to send them some money, doesn't it? Well, you do. You need to send it. So go ahead and cry. Get it over with. Get it in the mail. Remember, we can only accept blank money orders. Cash or gold and silver coin. Okay. That's enough of all that stuff for right now. Got some stuff here. Got an article from Fort Sam, Houston, Texas. A unit believed to be the elite Delta Force anti-terrorist team is expected to train at Fort Sam, Houston in the next 3 days in an operation dubbed Exercise Last Dance, officials said. Gee, I wonder where they've been. This has been a subject of controversy, and people have been talking about it on the radio all over Texas and on this broadcast and many others. That the elite Delta Force and the Night Stalker Aviation Unit were going to hold an exercise at Fort Sam Houston. And this guy, Sig Christensen of the Express, of the Express newspaper, news staff writer, just found out about it, I guess, write this little story. Details about the exercise, including when it would take place, still were being worked out Wednesday, and the U.S. Army Special Operations Command in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, would not say if the unit is Delta Force. Well, we all know it is. They've said it before, and we've revealed it here. It's been all in the newspapers and on the radio down in Texas and television and everything else. And, I just find this amazing, the way the newspapers report things. Like everybody in the world is just a bunch of dumb, stupid idiots. Unfortunately, a lot of them are, but not everybody. And once again, they stress that this is to save soldiers' lives. And they decided to notify people at Fort Sam Houston and people who live in the vicinity of the exercise there so that they wouldn't get the bad reaction that they got in Kingsville and in some other places. Here's what he says about it. They conducted mock hostage rescue and attack raids last week in Port Aransas and Kingsville, where low-flying dark helicopters triggered phone calls from frightened residents. Did more than that, folks. Anyway, he goes on. Kingsville City Manager Carlos Lerma, identifying the troops as Delta Force operatives, said the team sparked a fire in a vacant police annex. And similar complaints in a host of other American cities prompted Mayor Howard Peak and other local leaders to reject a request last spring to let Delta Force conduct mock air and ground assaults on the west and east sides of the Texas city near Fort Sam Houston. And I don't remember what is that, Austin? I think it's Austin, isn't it? Or San Antonio, maybe? I forgot. As the week began, word of mock exercises in South Texas and the Alamo City, San Antonio, triggered a flurry of national and local news reports, many of them citing the ruckus caused by previous exercises. Etc., 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 etc. Anyway, that's from Fort Sam Houston, San Antonio, Texas. And this is from Corpus Christi. Corpus Christi, Thursday, February 18th, 1999. That's just last Thursday. Old courthouse stormed in mock rescue. By the way, tonight is the last night for the exercises in Texas. There will be one more exercise tonight. I don't know exactly where, and then it will be all over, they say, until the next one somewhere else. Old courthouse stormed in mock rescue. Special forces use guns, explosives, and practice operation. Army Special Forces troops took the old Nueces County Courthouse by storm Wednesday night in a mock hostage rescue of an ambassador from one of the jail cells. The crack of gunfire and the low, loud boom of grenade explosions could be heard across the city. All of a sudden, we saw cops blocking the streets and we heard gunshots, said Conrad De La Paz, 19, who pulled his minivan over and parked to watch the maneuvers. De La Paz said he was at first frightened by what appeared to be an assault on the city. The exercise by the Army Special Operations Command from Fort Bragg was the last in a series performed in the Corpus Christi area, Police Chief Pete Alvarez said. It was really a neat exercise, something we'll probably never see again in Corpus Christi, Alvarez said. You need to read that again, folks. This has got to be one stupid police chief. Listen to this. Listen to what he says. It was really a neat exercise, something we'll probably never see again in Corpus Christi. Yahoo! What a dork. Can you believe that? This is the chief of police. They land helicopters in his city, storm a courthouse, fire live weapons with real bullets, detonate real explosives and real hand grenades, blow doors off, blow windows out. And he said, this was really neat. Boy, you should have seen. Oh, we'll probably never see this again. Oh, my goodness. Never ceases to amaze me how people with a brain can take so much trouble to act like some stupid animal that doesn't have any brain. Now, that's just amazing to me. Anyway, it continues. I just hate to read these things because it just destroys my faith in human nature, I gotta tell you. The soldier's mission was to rescue an ambassador being held hostage by enemy forces, Alvarez said. In the process, they set up snipers outside the building whose mission was to kill guards, allowing soldiers access. The sharp crack of gunfire seemed to signal the beginning of the exercise. An instant later, several black helicopters without lights landed and dropped off soldiers. The soldiers used grenades and explosives to blow open doors, Alvarez said. This is the police chief. A helicopter also landed on the Mann building, spelled M-A-N-N. The soldiers had to take out more than 60 bad guys. Whoop-de-doo. Sylvester Stallone. It sounds like Sylvester Stallone. Some real men, some plywood cutouts in and around the courthouse before extracting the ambassador from the jail cell. They reached the hostage in about 10 minutes and finished the operation in about 25 minutes, he said. Mayor Lloyd Neal, City Councilman Ed Martin and John Longoria, and City Councilwoman Melody Cooper, no relation, ladies and gentlemen. I want you all to understand, Melody Cooper is not related to me. Witnessed the exercises from the driveway of fire station number one, just across the street from the courthouse. Listen to this. It was an awesome display. Those helicopter pilots were fantastic, said Neil, a former airborne ranger with 30 years of military service. One helicopter hovered inches above a crane at the worksite for the new federal courthouse, dropping off two snipers. The helicopter came back later in the exercise to pluck the men from the top of the crane. Two of the choppers landed on the roof of the courthouse. The others landed around the courthouse square. A large Black Hawk helicopter then settled in just to the north of the courthouse. The pilot of that Black Hawk had more than 5,000 hours of flight time in that helicopter, said Neil, who had been briefed about the drill by Sam Joseph, an operations leader from Fort Bragg. I've never seen anything as precise as what that guy was able to do under those conditions in the dark like that. Joseph said the urban warfare training exercise in Corpus Christi was one of the smoothest ever. The cooperation from guys like your police chief was just fantastic, he said.
Let me read that again.
The cooperation from guys like your police chief was just fantastic, he said. We really appreciate it. He's a hell of a guy. And I'm not joking, folks. That's exactly what it says here. We really appreciate it. He's a hell of a guy. Oh, my goodness. I wonder what they'd say about him if he gave him a Big Mac. On Tuesday, Army representatives briefed the council on the operations and addressed concerns about citizen safety related to the exercises. During the exercises, helicopters have been seen swooping low over residential areas in Annville, Kingsville, and Port Aransas. The soldiers wearing black face masks and night vision goggles use explosives and fire live rounds during the exercises, the soldiers said. In Kingsville, on February 8th, explosions and rifle fire startled nearby residents, and the attack caused a fire that gutted an abandoned police building and blew windows out of another building nearby. Army officials have said that 50 to 60 soldiers were involved with the two-week exercise. The Army Special Operations Command in Fort Bragg had received permission from the city for the exercises. The unit has encountered problems in other cities where the times and locations of the operations were widely known, Joseph has said. In one case, he said 200 people crowded onto the roof of an abandoned factory to watch the operation, threatening to collapse the roof and slowing the unit's vehicles. Dusty DeRill, owner of the company that owns the old courthouse, said he was approached by Army officials about 6 months ago. DeRill said he didn't receive any compensation for the exercise, but that Army officials agreed to pay for any damage. Traffic was shut off on the I-37 overpass going toward Portland from 7:45 to 8 p.m. and again from 8:20 to 8:30 p.m. Traffic leaving Portland could enter Corpus Christi. The Harbor Bridge walkway also was closed. We've had 10 times worse traffic jams during a major car accident, said Lieutenant Ken Ursland of the Corpus Christi Police Department. Closing off the highway caused a minimal amount of inconvenience to the residents. Army officials asked for road closures so the helicopters wouldn't distract motorists or send debris onto cars, Ursland said. The whole thing went off like clockwork, and I'm a Marine and I don't usually praise the Army, he said. Oh, baloney. Staff writer Stephanie L. Jordan contributed to this report. Blah, 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 blah. This is sickening, folks. Just absolutely sick. Not one person on the city council in Corpus Christi, Kingsville, Fort Sam Houston, or anywhere else, Aransas, or any of the other places, ever asked these people if they had permission from the state legislature or had been called into the state to perform military exercises in their cities. And I guarantee you, if you look at the law, it's against the law. And if you'll read the Constitution of most states, military federal troops cannot enter the state or conduct any kind of operations within cities in any state without an invitation from the state legislature or from the governor. But nobody knows the law anymore, not even the police officers, not even police chiefs. And none of them ever read the Constitution, and frankly, my dear Scarlett, don't give a damn about it anymore. If they did, they wouldn't be dressing up like teenage Ninja Turtles, scaring the hell out of people, breaking down doors in the middle of the night with no warrants, confiscating property, which is unconstitutional, without just compensation, etc., 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 etc. I could go on for probably 100 broadcasts just talking about what the police are doing today that's unconstitutional, against the Constitution for the United States of America, and, in most cases, their own state. And they don't give a damn about it. They don't care. They don't care. Most police officers today are chosen by psychological profile, and that psychological profile is exactly the one Hitler would use if he was going to rebuild his SS. Good police officers who used to be in the departments are being phased out, sometimes because of old age, but mostly because they're politically incorrect and don't want to go along with what's going on, and they're just slowly just eased out of the force. No more promotions. You know what I'm talking about, especially if you're a police officer. And all these young stormtroopers coming in, picked by a psychological profile, and from what I've seen of them, they're psychotic. Something wrong with these people. Terribly wrong with them. They don't want to protect and serve the people and the property in their community. They want to be stormtroopers. They want to be SS. They want to dress up like teenage Ninja Turtles and bust down doors in the middle of the night and break heads and kill people and confiscate property and kick butt. I used to grit my teeth and smile and pretend like I just loved the hell out of them. Go out drinking with them and all kinds of stuff just to get a picture of who they were. And I never met one who during the course of an evening after he had X number of drinks would talk about his throwaway. Know what a throwaway is? Oh, and I've had police officers tell me this is not true, but it is true. It may not be true everywhere, and there may be police officers who don't do this, but most of them do it. Most of them do it. They find a gun during their work that they take off of some teenage punk or somebody else that's not registered in their name and can't be traced to them, and they keep it and they carry it. And if they ever have to kill somebody or want to kill somebody, they'll shoot them and put this gun in their hand and say that he drew a gun on them. That's what a throwaway is. And sometimes they'll use it if they accidentally kill somebody they didn't mean to kill. They'll do the same thing. They'll take the gun, put it in his hand, and claim that he drew a pistol on him. And it might have been somebody who never committed a crime in their life, and all of a sudden, their character, their good name, everything is ruined for the rest of history, and their children will grow up and go to their grave thinking their father was some kind of a murderer. I'm disgusted. Absolutely disgusted with these things. I'm disgusted with our military forces who put on blue berets and go to serve in a foreign army under the United Nations. That's unconstitutional. I'm disgusted with presidents and Congress that assign our troops to serve under foreign commanding officers and commands. I'm disgusted with sending our soldiers to these godforsaken places where we have no business sending them to to protect the peace for the United Nations. I'm disgusted with sheriffs and police departments that buy armored personnel carriers and tanks and M16 rifles and all of this kind of stuff. Disgusting. Sickening.
My wind, my love, my wind. Somebody cry, why, somebody sing. Somebody sing, somebody sing. Somebody cry, why, somebody sing.
He's your man, he's your man, if I know, I know. He's your man, he's your man.
Somebody say, somebody say, somebody say, somebody cry, why, somebody say, somebody sing, somebody sing. Somebody cry,
I think that that machine is doing a better job picking the music tonight than I could. That was the welcoming song for our troops in Bougainville, Africa. Mystery airplanes off course. This is from a newspaper in Chino Valley, February the 10th, 1999. Page one, first page. Mysterious flights of airplanes were spotted over the area January 31st by a few vigilant citizens. It shaped into quite an intriguing tale, after all, once the facts became known. Public affairs specialist Bill McKenzie reported the details as available from the Luke Air Force Base Air Space Department. It seems the aircraft were eight C-4C. Let me do that again so there's no confusion. It seems the aircraft were eight C-141 transport jets on a flight that had originated at Pope Air Force Base in North Carolina. As reported by witnesses, they had traveled across this area from the southeast to the northwest at a low altitude and speed on their way to Fort Irwin in California. They carried paratroopers of the 82nd Airborne and were flying legally low at the 1,000-foot level as part of an exercise that called for, get this, folks, sneak attack tactics. Now listen to the excuse that the military gave for why they were where they were at. Somehow, however, they had veered inadvertently off course over Chino and Williamson Valleys. When notified of their error by a surprise control tower at Prescott's Love Field, the Air Force reports the officer in charge of the flight, Lieutenant Commander Grundren, apologized for their transgression into local airspace and promised, "You'll never see us again." They ultimately found their way to their destination and completed their mission plan by dropping their parachutist as scheduled. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believe that this whole flight of Air Force transport jets were lost and inadvertently flew over Williamson Valley and Chino, then you're not playing with a full deck of cards. My father was an Air Force pilot. I know where they get lost and how they get lost, and they don't get lost over Williamson Valley or Chino, California. And if they did, they never would have made it to Fort Irwin. Not from North Carolina. You see, folks, to get lost on a flight from North Carolina going to Fort Irwin, California, and end up over Williamson Valley and Chino, California, means that they already flew past Fort Irwin. Flew past it. You understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you, they lied. Their explanation is bullshit. It's a lie. They were conducting operations without dropping troops, but flying in a pattern at an altitude from which they would have dropped troops had it been necessary. It was another one of these operations. And I'm just so sick of this lying and deceiving. And everybody is so used to it that they expect it and they don't care about it anymore. People that I talk to are not the least bit surprised that their local politicians lie to them, or that their state politicians lie to them, or that their representatives and senators in Washington, D.C. or representatives of the federal government lie to them, because it's expected. It's expected. So it doesn't bother anybody. They're used to it. They don't care. Isn't that amazing? And yet every time these people tell them something, they'll believe it until it comes out that it's a lie, and then they'll say, oh, well, we should have known, because they always lie anyway. It's, you know, who cares? So what? So what? They lied to us again. So what? Who cares? Well, who are you going to vote for next election? I'm going to vote for that guy, but he just lied to you. Oh, this is really something. Around here, there's a Arizona state senator that a lot of people around here really think is hunky-dory, the apple of their eye. And one of these nights, I'm going to do a whole show just on him, because he's another liar. These people are something else, I got to tell you. And not just the people in Washington or in the state house or in your local city council. I mean, everybody have gone over the edge. They complain about no morals, but yet when it comes to... never mind, folks. Never mind. I get the feeling I'm spitting in the wind when I talk about things like this. I mean, everybody was relieved, weren't they, when Clinton wasn't impeached? At least that's what the polls want us to think. That's another thing. I'm so sick of these polls. They call 1,000 people, and they say that whatever the questions those 1,000 people answered is what 260 million people are thinking. More bullshit. It's a lie. Can't possibly be true. And not only that, if I were in charge of those polls, if I wanted those, if I wanted it to come out a certain way, by the way I phrased my questions, and from the neighborhoods that I called, I could make sure that the poll said whatever I wanted it to say. I've done this before. I've proven that that's true. So I don't believe for 1 minute that the majority of the American people were relieved that Clinton wasn't found guilty. I just don't believe it. I don't believe any of their polls, as a matter of fact. Because I don't believe for 1 second that whatever 1,000 people say represents the thoughts of over 260 million people. And I believe just recently they reported that the population of the United States is now over 270 million, which should be about right. And I don't believe a word of it. Not a word. I think they use the public polls, or these polls, but I'm not so sure they're public. I think they use these polls to shape public opinion and make anybody who believes or who has an opposite opinion keep their mouth shut because they don't want to go against the majority of what the majority of Americans think. And most people are like that. If they think everybody in their neighborhood doesn't like Susie, even if they like Susie, they won't let anybody know that they like her because they don't want anybody to think bad about them. If the polls say that that 96% of all American people approve the deployment of our troops to bomb Iraq, and there are people out there who don't believe it's right, they'll keep their mouth shut because they don't want to be thought of as unpatriotic, or they don't want to be one of the 4 or 5% who are against the war. See, I've told you this a million times, and it's true. If you want to know how any group of adults will react in any given situation, go down to the local high school and see how the kids react, the children. Oh, my goodness, I'm in trouble now. I said that word. Go down to the local high school and see how the children would react in the same situation. And that's exactly how the adults will react. If you take high school society and extend it out into the community, it doesn't change. It's exactly the same. People are doing all the same things for the same reasons. They just have to work and be a little bit more responsible. Or they used to be a bit more responsible. I'm not so sure about that anymore today. Oh, and by the way, you're listening to WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA. This is the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. And we're going to open the phones, 520-333-4578, right after this. And we'll be taking your calls for the rest of the broadcast.
And your hips keep getting bigger. Your chest may slip, but don't you fret. No matter how weak your knees may get, you're never too old to be young. You're never too old to be young. Though your teeth are out and your whiskers sprout and your arches give away, you're never too old to be young and gay. Any fuzz upon your dome. When you ain't got any fuzz upon your dome. Why the dickens should you care if you ain't got any hair? Cause you never have to use a brush and comb. You ain't got your legs to give out soon. When you know your legs are gonna give out soon. When your joints begin to squeak, if you practice for can walk around and play yourself a tune. Your voice may crack when you try to sing, but you can't be good at everything.
You'll do that little
old. Oh, lonely, 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 lonely,
lonely,
lonely,
lonely,
lonely, lonely, lonely, lonely, lonely, lonely, lonely, lonely, lonely, lonely, lonely, lonely, lonely,
I never get lost to be young. Boy, folks, that's an oldie. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, good evening, Bill.
Good evening.
I took special interest in tonight's show for one reason. About 2 months ago, and I've heard this story before, but on Rush Limbaugh's show, he likes to tell this story about how he, you know, on his rise to stardom, you know, he was, you know, when he was out on the road, he'd always be invited to go and see military training exercises, and he was invited somewhere, and he was in the presence of a lieutenant colonel, I believe, possibly Marine, I can't remember which, or maybe Army. Basically what he saw was the Delta Force, okay? But yet on his show, he tells his story in such a way where he says, well, when I called him Delta Force, I was told emphatically that there is no such thing as Delta Force. It doesn't exist. And he said that repeatedly on his show, and I just find it funny that in the newspapers, that they're calling it Delta Force.
Well, it is Delta Force. There is a Delta Force, and Rush Limbaugh, as he is on so many topics, is in the toilet.
Yes, it's just another illustration, because I know even the founder of Delta Force, I believe, has a book out, and he talks all about the inception of it,
Yeah, well, he's deceased now. Beckwith is his name.
Oh, he died?
I believe he did.
Oh, okay.
Now, don't take that for gospel. I just...
Well, okay, I'll go through my database here, and I'll see if his obituary is in my files, and if I have it, I'll send it to you.
Okay.
Because
I just read something on the internet today that said that he was deceased.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure that he is or not, and I haven't checked it. And I just read it today, so that's, you know, that's all that is.
And is that woman supposed to be calling in tonight, or is that...
Tomorrow night.
She was going to call tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, yeah.
Okay. Very good. I just wanted to share that with the audience, because I just want to show how much he lies.
Also, he does, and another thing, if you ever watch his television program?
Yeah, the now defunct television program.
Oh, he doesn't do it anymore?
No.
Well, that's good. Well, if you ever watched it when he was doing it, in the beginning he used to have a little Masonic square and compass on his bookshelf back there, and all the books were fake.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
They were all fake. Just as fake as he is.
You know, at one time, I had the opportunity to possibly go through Cape Girardeau. I should have, because I wanted to look at his parents' graves. Because I know his father's dead, but his mother's still alive.
Yeah.
But if you know anything about Cape Girardeau, they call themselves the Rose City.
Yeah. Well, Missouri is a big Masonic state. I know his uncle, who's a judge, is a Freemason. I know that Rush Limbaugh is a Freemason.
Surprising.
I don't know about his father.
Well, his father was a prominent attorney, so what can you guess?
He probably was, too.
It runs in the family.
Yeah, but can you believe that a man with millions of dollars, like Rush Limbaugh, would sit on a set with fake books behind him? Mm-hmm. Fake books? I mean, how sleazy can you get? Why didn't he put some pertinent, important... good books in that bookcase, or else get another set. Why use phony books? I mean, that is just, that's so dumb.
Yeah. I picked up a biography on Francis Bacon. Is there anything I should know before I start reading it? Sir Francis Bacon?
There's a lot of controversy surrounding him.
Uh-huh.
An awful lot of, I would read several different sources of books on his life so that you get a good handle on the controversy. And then understand that he wrote
Atlantis, which was supposed to be light years ahead of his time.
Yeah, and it was also supposed to be a blueprint for the New World Order, which would begin in the settlement of what they call the New World, or what has become the United States of America.
Yeah, well, this author, Jean Overton Fuller, she especially supposedly explores his Masonic roots and everything. It's always been something I wanted to look into, this guy, because, you know, he comes up so frequently, and, you know, there are those who make some outrageous claims that, oh, well, Shakespeare never wrote a play in his life, it was all Francis Bacon's work.
Well, that's part of the controversy, and
yeah.
You'll get people who swear one side and swear the other side, and both sides will present some pretty spectacular evidence for their case. I never got real deep into that. I was interested in the New Atlantis and some of the other things that Bacon wrote and was involved in, simply on a conspiratorial
venue
or viewpoint, and didn't get into all of this other stuff at all. I could care less if Shakespeare wrote his plays.
Yeah, I could care less.
Who in the world would care, you know? Why would anybody care whether Shakespeare really wrote those plays or not, other than to try to straighten out history?
Well, that would be like the literary world's great gnashing of teeth if, for instance, a lot of the scientists who believe that we went to the moon, you know, found out that we actually didn't.
Why would the literary world care? It seemed to me it'd be, most Americans don't care. I've shown absolute proof to people, and they say, so what?
Yeah.
Other people go bananas. I mean, they just break out crying.
Yeah, well you know, that we talked about that Moongate book many years ago. You were still on the other station at that time, and it prompted you to do a three-part series, I believe, on Moongate, the suppressed findings of NASA.
Uh-huh.
That was William Byron, I believe.
Yes.
That book has disappeared magically from my library since we talked about that.
It's disappeared all over the country.
Yeah, but your books are still in the library, though, and it's pretty fun to, you know, see them there, and they do get circulated quite frequently. But on another note, and this might be interesting, I don't know if you go to the Electronic Telegraph, the web version of the London Daily Telegraph, at all?
I go everywhere.
Okay, well, yesterday they had a pretty interesting story. Supposedly, Napoleon is Scottish. He is now a Scotsman. You know, everybody wants to be Scottish in these days. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how people all of a sudden change their history
and their lineage
and all kinds of stuff. Like our Secretary of State, Albright.
Yes.
Well, she was an Episcopalian until she was appointed Secretary of State, and all of a sudden she was a Jew.
Yeah.
And this, you know.
Well, that's just one example, but it was even, sort of like Arlen Specter, invoking Scottish law, in a constitutional setting.
Yeah.
That's just the way things go, I guess.
When I saw him as the only senator up there to grill those guys who went to Washington, D.C. to speak for their militias.
Oh, Arlen Specter?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
When I saw that, I wished I had gone.
That the one where J.J. Johnson was and the Michigan guys?
Yeah.
Kooks?
Yeah. And they all talked about the wrong things, stupid things, dumb things. None of them cited the law. None of them none of them were legitimately speaking about legitimate issues. And I could have.
I mean, for instance, quite the sensation has been made about Giuliani and his imposing a type of confiscation of property for drunk drivers.
It's unconstitutional.
On one hand, I hear a guy just totally denounce it, and then, the topic changes, and now they're talking about potential presidential candidates, and the same guy who just denounced them, for being like that, you know, all of a sudden says, oh, well, he'd probably make a pretty good president.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you know, you can't reach these people anymore. It's impossible.
They're not thinking. They're not playing with a full deck of cards. They went to the poker game with an empty six-pack and no money.
I guess we're programmed to look at only a single issue and give a thumbs up or you know, Roman thumbs up or Roman thumbs down, you know, but only about that issue, not the person as a whole, because that would be overly judgmental, you see. And, you know, with the rampant cynicism out there, it's like, you know, you talk to anybody and they pretty much say, oh, well, there isn't a good politician anywhere, you know, so I guess we just have to, just take the good with the bad and hope they do the right thing.
Well, see, that is so stupid. A deal with the devil is a deal with the devil. Doesn't matter. You know, there's no such thing as the lesser of two evils.
No, I know, and unfortunately, everybody likes to go down that path anymore.
If you keep electing evil, then evil is going to prevail, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. You're just building a foundation of evil is what you do when you do those things.
Yeah, and people, you know, who think along our lines or whatever.
You mean people who think, period.
People who think, period, thank you. It's harder and harder to go out and vote because, you know, it always is, you know, a choice between the lesser of two evils. It's like hard to find a principled person anymore.
Well, it's not a choice between lesser of two evils. If you go
well,
out,
happen to not, it is. I mean, I, you know,
if you go out and the choice, way. If you go out and the choice is between two evils, one of them may be greater and one lesser, don't vote.
That's what I was saying.
That's your choice.
It's harder to find someone to vote for because there's so few principled people out here, you know, anymore. And it's always playing to the vast audience and well, let's change it on the basis of this poll that the newspaper published. You know, meanwhile, the newspapers are about enemy anyways.
I want to see an election where nobody votes. Nobody, because the choices are no good. I want to see an election where nobody goes to the polls and votes.
I heard something about a committee that was formed by Clinton, you know, looking into possible ways of staying in office beyond his term. I suppose it was on World Net Daily because of the source that I had heard it from, and you know, basically the rub was, oh well, you know, this committee, you know, came to the conclusion that, oh well, the economy is going to tank by then anyway, so it'll probably be able to use, you know, martial law as a reason to stay in office.
Well, if they've spooked enough people over this Y2K thing, then he don't need a committee. All he's got to do is wait until they make a run on the bank and start looting and all the things, the stupid things that they're going to do, and that'll be his reason.
I heard a radio talk show host today who was, you know, the Know Your Customer Act or policy that the Fed wants to institute with the banks,
mm-hmm.
and the Libertarian Party is, like, really against them. They're having mailing campaigns and stuff.
Everybody should be against it.
Well, yeah, but this guy, he's somewhat of a financial pillar of our community here, and he's also on the radio. And he advocated that people pulling your money out of the banks to protest it. You know, sort of, you know, get a jump on the YTK thing, I guess, huh?
Well, he wants to just add fuel to the fire. There isn't any money in the banks.
No, of course not.
Most money, in fact, money doesn't exist anymore. It's all bogus counterfeit. The coin of the money of account for the United States of America is gold and silver coin, and we don't use that. And most transactions are made by check, credit card, electronic transaction, money orders, things like that. If even half the people in a town went down, well, less than that. If even one-tenth of the people in any given town went down and demanded that the bank turn over all of the cash that they have in their account in the form of cash, the banks would have to close their doors.
Yes. I guess there's an IMF meeting or a Fed meeting. I guess it was an IMF meeting, and they were talking about selling off $30 billion in gold. And it sounds to me it's just a, you know,
That's just to keep gold deflated.
And that's what I was thinking, too.
That's what they've been doing.
They said it was to be able to bail out these other countries, but if they're selling this gold, then, other than, paper currency and bonds and loans, what else are they going to give them?
No, that's just to keep gold deflated.
But the article I saw was by a Canadian finance minister, I believe, and he said they came to no conclusion.
There's no such thing as a Canadian.
And that's what's going to happen, naturally.
Well, okay.
So anyways, I've taken a lot of your time, and have a good evening, Bill.
Thank you.
Thank you.
520-333-4578 is the number. It's 520-333-4578. And that's all we're going to be doing for the rest of the hour is taking your phone calls tonight, right here, on the Hour of the Time. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good morning. Good evening, Mr. Cooper. Seems to me that Tavistock has done a good job on the USA in complacency and dumbing down our people. They seem to be walking around like robots. In the area where I live, in Atlantic City, of course, New Jersey's always been a Marxist state, and it's just a nightmare here. I wonder, did you ever hear of that movie called Fahrenheit 451?
Yes, I did, and I know I've seen it at least twice in my life, but that's an old movie. That was years ago, and I don't quite remember exactly. Wasn't it about book burning or something like that?
Yeah, well, why I brought it up is what you were just saying. It was a science fiction, but it's true to form in today's society. No one read. It was the newspapers were funny, little cartoons.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
And the women sat in front of the TV all day long popping pills for this, for that, And they were ruled by the Oprah Winfrey's, the Sally, Jesse Raphael's, and all these.
Well, aren't most women falling into that category today?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not picking on all women, but I think most women are already doing that.
Yeah, the conversation is, did you see this and that? And I did the best thing. I have completely cut television off. I cut the cable out. I cut the newspapers out. I cut all magazines out. I do not conform to this insane society. I think it's a disgrace. And my daughters cannot find a decent, honorable men anymore, so they choose to stay away. They seem to all become sissy poopies, and they can't stand up, and I'm very, very sad and disgusted with the whole situation. And if they don't wake up, I just fear for the human race.
Really?
Also, getting back to that Fahrenheit 451, which was a science fiction from London, England, and it was in the 60s, they would, no one was allowed to read, and, they would, the fire companies would go around if somebody reported them, which they had little stationary, like iron mailboxes where people would rat on their mother, their father, their sister, their brother, and put it in the thing, and they would come down in the fire engine and burn all the books.
Yeah, that's what I remembered, burning the books, yeah.
And it seems to me that the society has fallen into it because everybody reports everybody else. And also I heard on the New York News that now if you have a little drink, they'll catch you and confiscate your car and put you in jail. Isn't that quite interesting since they're building bigger and bigger liquor stores like department stores and building drug stores? So I think something's screwy here. I don't know. How come I see
that? Well, it's intended to be screwy. It's to screw your mind up. I mean, on one hand, they'll sell you something and tell you to use it and advertise it and all that kind of. On the other hand, if you do, then they're ready to make you a criminal.
Yeah, it really is disgusting. Also, I heard you say last week about Platoon, so I went and rented it, about the Vietnam.
Uh-huh.
And I found that it was really a lesson to be learned. And Charlie Sheen at the end said something to the effect that they were actually fighting among each other. Is that what you got out of it?
No. Well, out of that?
Yeah.
yeah, they were fighting among each other and being high on dope and pot and heroin and everything else all the time. And you see these incredible scenes where all these guys are in this hooch all shooting up, and the sergeant is laying over in a hammock, and he's all whacked out on heroin or something. It did not happen. These are lies. And in the real military, if you went around a sergeant and did any of those things, you'd find yourself arrested in the brig and up for court-martial so quick it'd make your head spin. Hollywood is lying
right.
about the Vietnam veteran and the troops, the way they conducted themselves in Vietnam.
I don't understand is that what I call the Communist News Network, CNN, how come Hanoi Jane is not brought up to trial? It seems awful funny to me that she seems to get away with what she did to our boys.
Well, she should have been. I remember being on patrol on the Takhan River, just a couple of miles south of the DMZ, and hearing her on Radio Hanoi, and telling telling me that I shouldn't be doing what I was doing. And then when I saw her picture with a North Vietnamese helmet on, sitting on an anti-aircraft gun, as if she was going to shoot down one of our planes. I'll tell you, right then, at that moment, if she had been standing in front of me, I would have killed her.
Oh, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. And another thing, I heard a rumor, I don't know if it's true or not, but Senator Byrd seemed to have turned himself around. And I saw a picture of him where his hand was injured and wrapped up. Was that an accident or was that just...
I don't know. This is the first I've heard of it.
Yeah, I was reading the New York Times. I forget what date it was, but... Mr. Cooper, is there really any hope that anyone has the tenacity to stand up and protect this country, this once republic? Are they just going to do it for their own personal thinking? All this money and prestige is going to save them. Is there any hope?
Yes, there is. And I don't know how to tell it to you any other way than that. There are good men and women in this country who are prepared to fight and die in defense of right.
Well, I feel that way, and I'm a woman. And I have been studying this horrible situation. I call it a conspiracy to destroy the Republic of the United States for 10 years now, and I'm willing to fight. And I appreciate your program, and good night, Mr. Cooper.
Well, thank you. Thank you for calling. Me too. Ditto. I will fight and die right here rather than knuckle under to this tyranny. I will not do it. I drew the line years ago. I looked at the law, I looked around and people were telling me things and I didn't believe it. And I went and started looking it up and found out it was true. And of course, I had a head start. I got to see behind the scenes when I was in the military, especially when I was at command staff of Admiral Bernard Clary at St. Pat Fleet. I saw what was really going on. And so I had a head start on everybody else. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper. This is Lee in Alabama.
Hi, Lee.
I hadn't talked to you in a couple of years. I used to be called Captain Lee of the Michigan Militia Wolverine.
Uh-huh. Can you talk a little louder?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
How's that?
That's good.
People don't want to hear it. One thing to say about the rage in Texas, if they come to my area, I'm going to lock them up. It may be disastrous for me, but it's what I'm going to do exactly.
Well, it doesn't matter. What matters is that we do the right thing. And the only thing that matters is not the judgment of our fellow men or anybody in Washington, D.C. or the local goofball in charge of the police department. What matters is the judgment that God hands down to us. And if we do the right thing, we're going to be judged properly and in the right. And that's all that matters to me. I don't care about anything else or anybody else in this whole world except for the opinion of God. That's what I care about.
Yes, sir. I agree 100%. I'm a born again Christian. I go knows. I just don't have any luck with talking to my neighbors around here, which is half of it related to me.
Well, you know what? If you just go out and talk to neighbors, you probably won't. What you need to do is go places where people of like mind can be found. That's usually gun clubs, the rifle range, meetings where patriot speakers will be found, you know, things like that. Places where patriots go.
Yes, sir. A couple of days ago, I met a man from a neighboring church. He was stocking up on food, retired military.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to visit him tomorrow night at their church to see what they have to say.
Well, if he's stocking up on food, that'd be a good place to start. I'll tell you that. He knows something or he wouldn't be doing it.
Yes, sir. My pastor don't believe in it, apparently. And I think he may be listening. I'm retransmitting. I'm out in the yard on a hand hill.
Uh-huh.
So, Mr. Cooper.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Same to you. 520-333-4578 is the number. It used to be a time in this country. Oh, never mind. I'll get off on that bit. 520-333-4578. Take your calls for the rest of this hour. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, Bill.
Hello.
Hi. This is Dave in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, Dave. Okay, I need you to talk a lot louder.
Okay, I found a guy that got me out of my tax problem.
Yeah.
I'd like to tell you what he did.
Okay.
He did a revocation on my Social Security number.
Yeah.
And I had Treasury agents out to the house. They were Department of Treasury, Internal Revenue Service, criminal investigators.
Uh-huh.
They told me if I didn't sign the 1040 right there on the spot, they were going to start criminal proceedings against me.
They can't. Nobody can make you sign anything. Nobody can make you take an oath, and to sign that, you have to swear under penalty of perjury.
Yeah.
And
this was way back in October of 98.
Yeah.
So almost 5 months ago.
So that'll show you how crooked they are, trying to force you under threat of coercion, threat, duress, and coercion to sign a statement under penalty of perjury that you don't believe is correct.
That's for sure. But what this guy's got going is, you know, the 1040 label form?
Uh-huh.
It's a codicil.
Yeah.
It's a will. You're willing the money to the IRS. And then in Title 31, Money and Finance, subsection D, or it's subsection 321, D2, for purposes of the federal income, estate, and gift taxes, property accepted under paragraph 1 shall be considered as a gift or a bequest, which is in addition to a will, to or for the use of the United States.
Yeah, I know all that. I've done that research, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, why don't you do me a favor and just make copies of all that stuff and send it to me? You got the address?
No, go ahead and give that to me.
The hour of the time.
Sure.
In care of 101.1 FM.
Go.
P.O. Box 940. Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925.
85925?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And could I tell you what they did to me a few days after they paid the visit?
Go ahead.
Yeah, they sent the same guys from Grand Rapids, Michigan, sent a big old package certified through the mail, and I refused it, and I haven't heard a word since then.
Yeah.
But then the guy that's working for me told me to call him and tape record this message.
Uh-huh.
Let him know. Could I read that over the air?
Sure.
Okay. This call is being recorded for my records, and my talking to you is without prejudice to me and non-assumptive to you. Also, this conversation in no way grants power of attorney or jurisdiction of any kind. By the Code of Federal Regulations 26, Code Section 301.6903-1, Notice of Fiduciary Relationship, I have given notice to the District Director, Arlene G. K., and to the Commissioner of the Internal Revenue that the fiduciary relationship of principal and agent has been revoked and terminated. I am no longer under any duty or liability as a fiduciary. I hereby give you verbal notice, the fiduciary relationship of principal and agent is revoked and the trust is terminated. I no longer have any further duty or liability as a fiduciary analogous to the trust under the Social Security number of the 1040 label form. If I am injured in any way by your actions, you could be disbarred or could be prosecuted for felony, theft, extortion. Goodbye.
Yeah, you know what that's about, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
That's about when they spell your name in all capital letters. They're not referring to you. They're referring to a trust.
Yes.
That has your name. And you are the fiduciary of the trust?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Everybody out there who doesn't understand the law is sitting there scratching their heads wondering what the hell we're talking about.
Yeah. See, no one is breaking all these patriotic things you're mailing in. No one is breaking the trust.
Yeah.
And it's in the you'll find how to do it in AMSUR second edition under agency. That pretty well spells out what you got to do.
Well, put all that together in a package, everything that you've done and everything this guy helped you with. Put it in a package and send it to me, and I'll look at it. In the future, maybe in a couple of months, we're going to do a series just on income tax,
uh-huh.
And we'll use whatever's good that you send, and whatever's not, we won't.
Well, this guy right now has 100% good.
Well, I've heard that from a lot of people.
Yes. And
when you really get into it, say, well, you know, give me the names and addresses of all these people you've had 100% with.
he'll do it. But he has a 100% failure rate if you open up the letters.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll make copies of this and get it off to you because it is dynamite stuff. And then also, I have these two, one of the agents on record, on a phone recording.
Uh-huh.
Saying that I own 9 guns.
You own 9 guns?
Yeah.
Oh, he's trying to set you up, huh?
Yeah, well, I told him I didn't appreciate him coming over to the house like that. He was trespassing. And, you know, he says, well, why would that be? And I said, well, you're armed. Well, how do you know I'm armed? Blah, blah. We went around that. And he said, well, Mr. Houston, you own 9 guns.
Well, you know what you ought to tell him? Have you ever read the Constitution for the United States of America? It's not against the law for me to own 5,000 guns.
Really?
If I want to own them. These people are sick. They are sick. They're scum-sucking, puke-faced Nazi pigs. And I'd like to say a lot worse, but you can't say those things on the radio.
Yeah. Well, it breaks down. I tell you, you got to get rid of that Social Security number.
Well, it doesn't matter. You see, whatever you were coerced into by fraud is not a contract, and you're not subject to it. And you don't need to go through all these baloney things. The law clearly states that if they suck you into some kind of a phony contract without specifying the terms of the contract which you're expected to live up to, that's fraud.
Yeah, there's also a bill I had.
And it's all null and void the moment that it's discovered.
Yeah, I had a notice of deficiency on me.
Uh-huh.
And this guy got it removed. And I showed that to my attorney, and he's never heard of that before. Once you got that notice of deficiency?
Most people have never heard of any of this just stuff before. Why do you think that, you know, they Clinton ordered them to go after me on the same day every agency in the government started investigating us. The only thing that they could find that they believe we've ever done that's unlawful is income tax violations, which we're not guilty of because we're not subject to it. And they issue warrants for our arrest, but nobody's been up here to arrest us.
Yeah.
Because they've defaulted on everything that we've published and everything that we've sent them. Their case wouldn't stand up in court for 2 minutes in front of any jury. And they know it.
Yeah.
And they also know that if they come up here and try to harm any member of this family or arrest any member of this family unlawfully outside their jurisdiction or hurt or damage any of our property, that they're going to be met with gunfire. And a lot of people are going to get killed because I'm going to protect my rights. I'm going to protect myself, my family, and my property, and the trust property with every means at my disposal, including the means that our founding fathers gave us, which is the right to keep and bear arms and use them against tyranny.
Yeah, also, Bill, did you know when you signed that 1040 that you give the IRS your power of attorney?
Absolutely, sure.
Yeah.
And when you sign a 1040, you're also swearing under penalty of perjury that you're a taxpayer.
Yeah.
You're doing a lot of things.
Yeah.
That you shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, that.
I refuse to do it.
30, Amsure, second edition, subsection 30.
Yeah, well, there's no sense getting into all of that without laying it out, and that's what I want to do on radio broadcast. Just send it.
Okay, I sure will, Bill.
Okay?
Thanks for your time, buddy.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, you and I could talk about this stuff all night long, and we would understand each other, but we'd lose most of the audience, and that's not the purpose of the broadcast. We don't want to lose the audience. We want them to understand what's going on here. 520-333-4578. We are going to have a series of broadcasts that's going to explain all this stuff to all of you. And that'll be coming up in maybe 2 or 3 months. And it'll blow your mind. Literally blow your mind. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Cooper. How are you doing tonight? I appreciate you taking my call. I was going to ask you just a few questions about this Y2K thing. I don't want to labor on it too long because I know how you feel about it, which I think is the same way I feel about it. But do you see, once the media really starts getting a hold of this and hyping everybody up like some of the churches are starting to do right now, that it could lead into an inflationary period in the short run?
Well, it could lead into one of two things. It could either totally destroy... Well, let me put that another way. It could totally plunge us immediately into a depression because all of the cash would disappear. The Federal Reserve has printed $50 billion just waiting to put into the banks if there's a run on the banks. But $50 billion, if there's a major run on the banks, is not enough.
No, it's not.
That won't cover it. That won't even begin to cover it. But if they pump $50 billion more dollars into the economy, and that say it's not a major run,
right?
Say that does satisfy it, there'll be inflation like you won't believe.
So yeah, that's kind of, you know, what do? You take a cash is king position like it was in the 30s, or you take a precious metals position?
Well, in either one of those two scenarios, precious metals are going to be worth an awful lot. In fact, anything that people really need, whether they need it or not, like coffee,
right,
will be extremely valuable.
Do you think that the Fed would allow the banks to close rather than just devaluing the currency or coming up with a different form of it?
It wouldn't be up to the Fed. If there was a run on the banks and everybody wanted cash, if they wanted to close their account and they wanted cash on the counter right then, the bank president would close the door.
You don't see him limiting withdrawals?
How can he do that? If it's your money, you have a right to demand that you get it, and people will start dismantling the banks.
Just a riot.
Yeah, they'll take the banks apart piece by piece.
Now, in a savings account, though, that's not a now account. They can make them wait up to 90 days for that, can't they?
It depends upon what contract. It depends upon the bank and the contract they signed to open the savings account. Now, here's what banks are doing now, and you all better be listening to me very carefully. Banks are already opening savings accounts in your name and transferring money from your checking account to the savings account without your permission.
For that reason?
For that reason.
So would it be a demand account?
Yeah.
Can they legally do that?
No. If you didn't sign a contract and open that account, they can't. But they're doing it. They're doing it because most people are Americanists, stupidest, sheepless, and don't know that they can't do it. And I will probably say thank you.
Probably will. It'll probably save us all. But if they can do that, I mean, it looks like to me it's just pretty much no holds barred out there. Because if they can do that, they can limit cash withdrawals.
Well,
but they couldn't do that without creating panic, is what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If you go to the bank and say, I need $2,000, and they say, well, you can only take out $1,000. And you say, well, I've got $6,000 in my account. Well, I'm sorry, but the withdrawals have been limited. You can only take out $1,000. Do you know how fast that will spread?
There are certain days I've been down at my bank going to a car auction or something and trying to take $3,000 or $4,000 out, and they don't have it.
They don't have it. I've been telling people this for years and years and years. The cash does not exist.
Well, no, it's because the Fractional Reserve Bank is, I think, what is it, only one?
No, it's because it's a debt-based economy, and money is not put into circulation until it's created by somebody borrowing, and it's created with a bookkeeping entry. It never existed. All of these things are electronic transactions. They're checks. They're credit cards. Every time you buy something on a credit card, you're creating money that does not exist.
Fiat currency, I think they call it.
Yeah. Why do you think they try to shove credit cards into people's hands?
Just open your mailbox.
Yeah. It's because they want you to create that money by creating debt.
Do you believe that there's a high probability that the powers that be will use this to usher in a new system?
Oh, without it. I'm reasonably certain that that's exactly what's going on here. Why else would they be sending their change agents and their provocateurs out to stir people up into such a frenzy over this Y2K baloney?
I agree with you, Horace.
Every computer expert that I've ever spoken to says this is blown all out of proportion and it's a bunch of wacko baloney.
If that is the case, God help us all. I'm not sure that we'll ever be able to prepare for that. You're going to have to take just draw the line in the sand and stand your ground.
Yeah.
Because it could be a long, hard fight. I appreciate you taking my call.
Well, I appreciate your call.
And I do agree that the lesser of two evils is still evil.
That's right. Absolutely.
Thank you, sir. Good night.
If people keep choosing the lesser of two evil, they're just building more evil. Evil takes over. Evil is evil. Evil is evil is evil is evil is evil. There's no such thing as the lesser of two evils. You're choosing evil. 520-333-4578. Boy, this 2 hours is going by slow tonight, and I'll tell you why. Because Annie is cooking burritos, and she makes the best burritos in the world, and I can smell it in here in the studio, and it's driving me wild. Good evening. You're on the air.
How you doing, Mr. Cooper?
Good.
I got a question for you. You think this is all hype with the Y2K thing, right?
What do you mean by hype?
It's all baloney, that there's not going to be an effect of embedded chips or anything like that. Is that correct?
No, that's not what I said. Y2K is a problem. It's not the problem they're making it out to be, and most problems with most of the computers have already been solved. But people are being worked up into a frenzy. For instance, why would your water stop running because of Y2K? Now, no, answer my question. Why would your water stop running because of Y2K?
If there was an embedded chip problem and the chips that regulate...
How would that shut off your water?
If the chips, if there's chips that regulate the flow underground or whatever. I don't know.
Well, I suggest you find out. I'll tell you right now, it would not stop your water. Your water would not stop flowing unless somebody intentionally shut it off to cause panic. That's the problem.
Now,
the problem is not Y2K. These things can be solved. It's just technology. Americans are technology-based. There is not one single segment of this problem that can't be solved and solved quickly. And if it did cause a problem, if the trains did stop running, they would not stop running for probably more than 3 or 4 or 5 days, and that's not going to bring the world down around anybody's ears. If the power plants were to shut down, if it was truly and honestly because of Y2K, they wouldn't shut down for more than 3 or 4 or 5 days. And that would not bring the world down around our ears. Trucks wouldn't stop running.
Okay. Now, how about the banking system?
How about it?
All right. The whole banking, all this fraud, is based upon millions of dollars or millions of computer dollars going across the ocean back and forth, right?
Yeah.
They're in worse shape than we are, supposedly, correct?
Who?
The Japanese, the Koreans, the European Union, supposedly.
Well, this is what you hear. I don't believe that for a second. Do you honestly believe that that the Rockefeller family, which owns the majority of shares in Chase Manhattan Bank, are going to let their whole fortune crumble to dust because some idiot didn't solve a problem in their computer?
You sure would think that they would have planned for this ahead of time, wouldn't you?
I'm telling you right now, they wouldn't allow it to happen for a second unless they absolutely wanted it to happen, and then it would be a scam just to fool the people. The danger with the banking system is not that the bank computers are going to fail, and so what if they did? Same thing. It wouldn't take more than 3 or 4 or 5 days after everybody really got the message that they're losing money to get experts in there to fix those computers and make them work right.
Well,
I'm telling you that right now. The danger is from the perception of the public that might cause them to make a run on the banks, and that will bring the entire system down.
Because there's $100 out for every $100 on deposit.
There's a lot more than that. This is a debt-based economy, and money does not exist until it's borrowed.
But the Federal Reserve notes, for every $100 on deposit in the bank, there's only, what, $1.20 worth of Federal Reserve notes?
Well, that's what they'd like you to believe, but it's not true. What happens the first time the bank loans you money? If you come in and borrow $50,000, do they take $50,000 out of the vault and give you $50,000? You better believe it, and that then becomes an asset in the bank. So don't believe all this stuff about for every $100 there's $1 in reserve. That's nonsense. There isn't any money. Doesn't exist.
Well, but there's paper money sitting there.
That's not money.
Well, I understand.
And it's not cash. It's not Federal Reserve notes. It's debt. Existing as a bookkeeping entry that's counted as an asset because somebody got to pay it back. They'll pull the whole system down. There'll be riots in the streets. It'll be terrible.
And
if it happens. I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but I have reason to believe that that's what they want to happen, and that's why they're stirring up all this hype and fear about Y2K.
And there's going to be more and more and more of it, and when everybody, all these bozos wake up out here, it gets real dangerous. Now, like I've told my senator.
As it gets closer to the end of the year, you're going to see mass hysteria. What did he say?
Nothing.
Well, I know what they're going to do. They're going to take their little card and proceed to their assigned underground cities, and that's where they're going to stay until all the stuff up here winds down. Well, that's my sentiments exactly.
And you know what I hope? I hope they try to do it all at once, William. I hope they try to do it all at once.
They'd like to. Their theory is this, is that total chaos will result, and that nobody out here in the populace will have any brains to any extent where they can maintain order and establish the proper continuance of society.
In other words, ordo ab chao.
Yes. And they believe that it'll reach a certain point where they'll all come out of their underground bunkers and they'll say, okay, we have the solution, but you're going to have to agree to some pretty stringent terms to restore order and security and safety to the population.
And what I'm going to say to them at that point in time, I'm going to say, sorry, boys.
I'm going to blow their head off is what I'm going to do. Well, if it gets to that point, I will literally, if I'm still alive at that point, I'll blow their head off because we don't need those people in this world. We don't need them in this world.
If William Jefferson Blythe Clinton thinks he can come and get all the guns, I welcome him to try.
Well, that's exactly what they think.
And I say, good luck, William Jefferson Blythe Clinton.
In fact, they think that after all the chaos has occurred, that you will voluntarily turn them in. That's what they think.
Well, they may have their little Harvard and Yale educations behind them, okay? But maybe they're not as...
They don't know about the real world, do they?
They're not as smart as they think they are.
No, they're not.
Because, you see, a lot of these sheeple out here, you and I both know that basically at least I know that the Constitution's kind of history anyway. And it has been for quite some time.
Well, of course. They wouldn't be doing the things they're doing if the Constitution was in effect, if it was truly the supreme law of the land, as everybody runs around believing that it is, they couldn't do anything that they've been doing.
It's a good thing that all these sheeple, the ones that have guns, think that they still have a constitution, William. That's a good thing. You follow me?
Well, no, I don't think it's a good thing, but it may be a good thing that they still are deluding themselves.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I understand that.
And when their little international law, their laws of their international rules of war, when they have the right to perpetuate the state under those laws, comes in conflict with my God-given right to protect myself and my family, then there's a problem, isn't there?
Well, of course there is. There's already a problem here. They don't know what to do about me and my family because I've already taken that stance.
So, I mean, I figure they're going to do whatever they're going to do. I wish them good luck, William.
Well, I don't. I wish them all the bad luck in the world.
Well, I wish them good luck because I think they're going to lose.
Well, I don't care what they do. I wish them all the bad luck in the world, and I wish all the good people in the world the good luck.
Well,
and I hope that's the way it comes down.
I do, too. But, you know, I don't think they're going to get by with it, William.
Well, I don't think so either. But you know, it means nothing to me in the long run because the only thing that means anything is whether or not I'm doing the right thing.
Exactly.
And I'm going to do the right thing.
And so am I. God bless you, sir.
God bless you, too.
Bye-bye.
520-333-4578. We've got about enough time for maybe two or three more calls. Here at the last part of the last hour of the hour of the time. Isn't it amazing? You know, Americans have always understood that tyranny can't be allowed in this country. Just can't be. And one thing we also understand is we cannot ever fire the first shot. But once they've fired the first shot, and once they have instituted openly their tyranny so that it's out in the public and everybody can see it, whatever we have to do the right thing and restore constitutional Republican government, we will do. Good evening. You're on the air.
Mr. Cooper, how are you?
I'm fine.
I've been listening to you for a long time. Glad to speak to you. I live in the northeast section of the country. Unfortunately, in an urban area, you think Y2K will affect us very much?
Apparently, you weren't listening to the last conversation.
Why?
Y2K is not the problem. It's the public's perception of it.
Yep.
If people panic in your area, yeah, you're going to have a big problem. If they don't panic, you're not going to have any problem at all. You might have some inconveniences if some computers do fail for 4 or 5 days until they get it fixed, but that's about it.
Okay.
But if the public panics, yeah, you're going to have a big problem.
Yeah. Well,
you're going to have a big problem.
Trying to,
your neighbors will make Hitler look like a Sunday school kid in the park.
They're trying to capitalize on the hysteria and a lot of the preparation people are selling.
They want hysteria to occur. They want panic to occur. Hell, they're whipping it up all over the place.
Right, especially on shortwave. And
everywhere. They're doing everything they can to panic everybody.
Well.
And the people that are doing it are not your friends. They're not my friends. They're not anybody's friends. Thank you.
Okay.
520-333-4578 is the number. You got time for maybe one more call. 520-333-4578. And let's hear from you while we've got a minute or two left at the top of the last hour of the broadcast. Good evening. You're on the air.
Mr. Cooper.
Yes, sir. Is this Noble? No.
Well, I'm Detroit, Michigan.
Oh, yes, I know who you are. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I'm just calling to let you know, man. See, the stock market's going to fall a couple of years over with.
Well, I believe that wholeheartedly.
That is what's going to start the so-called Y2K
Well, I think the Y2K panic will cause the stock market to fall. But either way, it doesn't make any difference. It's all connected to Y2K, isn't it?
It's all connected.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, we'll take care of business when it happens.
Yep.
Everybody's sitting tight now, just waiting to see what's going to happen.
Yep, that's true.
And we will take care of business. Don't worry. We're going to win. But I doubt if the United States ever be back at war before.
Well, I think you're probably right. Maybe it'll be better. Yeah.
Well, okay, I'll get off. Let somebody else get off.
Okay. Thank you for calling, my friend.
Take care.
You too.
All right.
A lot of you don't know it, but a lot of people have caught on to this race thing, and they've stopped fighting each other. They understand what freedom is and what it means. That's one of them. I'm another. There's a lot of us. Awful lot of us. And I guess that brings a close to this broadcast. Good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you.
Right.